Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So y'all are going to love this. Let's see, it is 11:13 a.m., there's no sermon today. I knew, see, it's a split crowd. I knew that was going to happen. What? We got all this way. We got ready for Easter and there's no sermon? No. And then some of you are like, hallelujah, there's no sermon today. No, but here's what I do want to do. I heard one parent say to their child as they were leaving for children's worship, listen to the lesson. That's awesome. I don't know who that was over here, but you're a good dad. There you go. That's what I like. That's what I like. You know your child, don't you? Yeah. So I'm saying to all of you, listen to the lesson. Okay? So no 3 points, no 2 points, no anecdotes. I just want to proclaim to you the promises of Christ over your life. I've said this for about a year now, and I really mean this so sincerely, that you don't need any more information about Jesus. I don't think I need any more information about Jesus. Yes, there are things we can learn. There are things that we can do. Obviously, we need to pray more. We need to do more of our devotional time. We need to spend more time with Jesus. We don't need any more information. You need more of a relation with Jesus. And so for us today, I'm not going to get, if you don't know the Easter story, if you don't know the full story of the resurrection, I'm going to give you part of it. But if you're like, no, I really came because I want to hear the story of the resurrection, I'm so sincere. Come find me afterwards. I will buy you coffee and lunch, and I will give you the story of the resurrection. No problem. And my family's going, you're taking somebody to lunch with us on Easter? If you need to know the story of the resurrection, you're going to get a great lunch on me today. Okay, but I also know I have really good radar if you're lying and you're just looking for a free lunch. Okay, and so, but for pretty much for all of the rest of us, I just want to give you the synopsis of the resurrection from the point of view of the disciples and of us, as if we were there and now here we are, okay? Not just 2,000 years ago, but the story of the resurrection is still going on inside of all of us. It was a terrible time, okay? When Jesus was about to be crucified and as he was crucified and right after he was crucified, it was devastating for the disciples. They were scared. They were worried. They were being talked about. Jesus was being talked about. They were being ridiculed. They were, you know, when they were walking down the street, people were giving them the side eye like, oh, there's one of those Jesus freaks. There's one of those people of the way, as Scripture called them. They weren't called Christians yet, okay, but the people of the way, I think that's a really cool name. I love that. But they were worried. Things were changing. The tide was turning on them, and for them, they were suddenly no longer popular. Remember, everywhere Jesus was going, he was drawing crowds. I mean, we have testimonies and witnesses to the 3,000s and to the 5,000s and to the 70 and to this and to that, and they were gathering on the shorelines. And I mean, the disciples, Jesus was a rock star. The disciples were all the roadies, right? I mean, they were like the ticket to get in. Everybody loved the disciples. And but yet, all that was turning quickly. Suddenly, no one wanted to be a follower of Jesus. Suddenly, it was unpopular. Suddenly, everybody was talking bad about them. Suddenly, they were trying to decide if they should just go along to get along. Ooh, kind of sounds like 2020, 2021, 2022, right? All these, it just wasn't popular anymore. And so, all of a sudden, everything was changed. They were scared. They were worried. Even as Jesus hung on a cross, they were having second thoughts. They were like, is he who he said he was, or is he not? I think for us and in all of our timing and all of our drama in our lives and all the things that go on, what is it when we go, is he really who he says he is? Because I got stuff. I got things going on. And then for some of them, maybe not the disciples necessarily, maybe, I don't know, but certainly for others that had followed Jesus, that even thought about following him, right? Maybe now they were like, oh, this is shameful. This is embarrassing. The guy that was supposed to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he's hanging on a cross. Look, he can't even save himself. When we get confronted with these things, maybe we get embarrassed. Maybe we start denying Jesus. Maybe we go, oh, I'm just not really sure about all this because look at the world, look at the chaos, look at my family, look at my health, look at me, look at you. What's going on? Maybe we get a little embarrassed that we believe such high, lofty goals and hopes, and it's just not turning out the way we thought it was going to. I ask this all the time. You don't have to raise your hands because I'm going to keep going, but how many of you that are adults are where you thought you would have been when you were 18, 19, 20, 30, 50? Not very many of us. We're like, wow, where did that turn happen? See, they were thinking the same thing. Speaking of embarrassed, I mean, even the sun got a little embarrassed when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Just think about that. The sun went away. It got dark. The ground even got a little nervous, like, is this the way this is supposed to be? Earthquakes started happening and all this stuff. And when Jesus cried out his last, the curtain at the temple was torn. Nothing was like it was supposed to be. No soldiers, no overthrow of the government, none of that. None of their lives changed immediately, all of that. It was not quite what they were thought it was going to be. And other followers started wondering, is he who he said he is or was? Because here's the deal, should we save ourselves or should we save ourselves and bend to society? Should we start listening to the other teachers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the college professors, our English teacher at high school, the atheist that lives down the street, the wacko that lives behind me in the alley that hates Jesus? Oh, now y'all are like, oh, you're getting close to home. Do you live in my neighborhood? Yeah, see, this is where we are. We think it's all this story of the resurrection way back when. No, it's the story of the resurrection today in your life and mine. And you might be contemplating, just like they did, this is all really confusing. This is different because we watched Jesus, right? They knew, just imagine, even on the resurrection day, on Sunday morning, that very morning, just think about when you got up this morning. Some of you came to sunrise or you had breakfast with friends and family or whatever. Just think about when you got up this morning, if you were thinking to yourself, as the disciples were, your Savior, your Lord, your God is buried in a tomb and you're sitting in you're getting up out of bed and you're sitting on the side of the bed and you're rubbing your head. You're going, gosh, what has happened? What is going on? Look at my children. What is happening? Look at my marriage. Look at, my job. I just got fired. They're downsizing. I thought the economy was great. I thought there were jobs everywhere. I thought my faith would make all this better. I thought when I got baptized, everything would change. I thought if I followed Jesus, he wouldn't be sitting in a grave dead and things would be better. They knew without any question that Jesus was the Messiah. They watched him, they saw him, but remember, I mean, they watched him walk on water, right? Turn water into wine. They watched him raise people from the dead. They watched him cast out demons. They watched him, they got up on a mountain and the heavens opened up. They saw him prophesy over people. They watched people get up that couldn't walk. They saw the blind start to see. I mean, they saw all this. They saw all of that. And yet they were still dazed and confused. They were still trying to figure out what was going on. Maybe you feel the same way. Because I know sometimes for me, I know where he's moved in my life. I know the great things he has done. I know where I know he saved me eternally, but boy, he has saved my hide more times than not. Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, I can just tell you the things I've gotten myself into that he got me out of and the things you all got me into, not just you specifically, but just in general, and he got me out of those too. See, we are just like them. And yet, here we are looking at this cross. We decorated, it's wonderful, we sang these songs, but I promise you, just like Ashley was saying, or whoever it was, it was Joel this morning, sorry, in the sunrise service, you're going to go back to school, you're going to go back to work, you're going to go back to that crazy neighbor that lives behind you that doesn't like Jesus at all, And all these things are going to start happening again. You're going to go, where is Jesus? Judas, over his own guilt for feeling this way about Jesus, right? Yes, he betrayed him. I mean, physically betrayed him. He couldn't handle that guilt, and he hung himself. I mean, my gosh, we betray him all the time in so many different ways. Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said. My gosh, Peter, you have such great faith. Nobody has faith like you. What did Peter do? He denied him not once, not twice, but three times. Right? He kept on. Thomas, one of the other disciples, what did he do? He ran away. He was doubting. He was scared to death. The stress and the tension on the day of the resurrection was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Aren't you encouraged about Easter today? Aren't you so glad you got up and you came? You are going to be, because this is all the Easter story. It is part of the resurrection, because even in their doubt, even in the chaos, even in the stress and the tension, they thought they might be hunted just like Jesus was. They thought they might be crucified. They thought they might be ostracized, pulled away from their families. All of that was in their head, but at the same time, they kept remembering what Jesus had done. They kept remembering that Jesus, all this is scriptural. You can look it up. You're going to go, I've never heard this story. I mean, there's a funeral procession going through town, basically. Somebody's dead son is in the coffin. Jesus just has to go touch the coffin. And what happens? The boy gets up. Comes to life. Jesus, they saw that. They saw him go, they saw him talk about the Roman soldier's daughter. And the Roman soldier said, you don't have to come to my house. You just have to speak to her right now and she will come to life. And she did. They knew all of these things. But remember Lazarus, you sang about Lazarus. Lazarus was, had just died. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was wrapped up, he was mummified, he was in a tomb, he was dead and gone and had been dead and gone. And all Jesus said was, Lazarus, come on, come on. And he came out. They saw all of that, but yet the one who raised people from the dead was dead on the cross. Not just dead on the cross, but in Jewish law, if you died on a tree, that's what they call this, if you died on the tree, you were cursed. God wanted had nothing to do with you. He didn't want to have anything to do to you, with you. Anyone relating yet? Because I know where he's moved in my life, but yet sometimes I go, where is he, this resurrected Jesus? We're resurrected people, but we don't always feel like it. I felt like some of you might feel this way sometimes too. And so who is Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, right? He's the bright morning star. He's the Word made flesh. He's everything that we thought that he would be, but he's also more, because we know, but yet sometimes we are still fearful. We might be thinking about what's coming this week. I was just hearing this morning somebody talking about they're going to have to start taking their dad to doctor's appointments and try to figure out what's going on in his life and whatever the prognoses are. I know people that are getting through things right now. I know there's people watching online right now that I know personally, a part of our church who are going through cancer diagnosis and going through treatments and all of the things. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. Those are hard. Those are scary. Those are sad. Those are difficult. But for all of us, we have to hear the meaning of Christ, because there's a dawning of a new day. There's a dawning of a new day. There's this idea that Christ is risen, and if he is risen, then we can face those things. I love if those kids, if you, if I, if those kids can keep that scripture that they just recited in mind for the rest of their life, I believe that they will be fine. They will do great things. You are going to have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world because of the resurrection. Jesus, when you feel defeated, when you feel like you're scared, when you feel frustrated, when you're hiding in your room, when you're hiding in your house because you're afraid of what's going on outside and what somebody's going to believe about you, just like the disciples did, you know where Jesus was? He wasn't in that tomb. He was in hell fighting for them and for us. He was already not there. And it's so hard to even think about and imagine, but don't try because you can't. You can't comprehend, you can't justify, you can't explain how we put a dead man that said he was God and was in a tomb, and as soon as we put him in there, he wasn't really there anymore. Because he went and he fought for us. He went to hell. He stormed the gates of hell and he took the keys of death from Satan. And if you think the disciples were scared, if you think you were scared, oh, you ain't got nothing on Satan. Satan's boy, he's not scared to death just quite yet, but he will be at some point because Jesus is alive forevermore when he went to hell. I love this. I'm going to have to go back and show my age. Oh, gosh, I just don't really want to do this. How many of you remember Carmen, the singer, Christian singer? Yeah, not very many of you. Yeah, not very many of you. As he had this song that as he counted down when Jesus went to the it was a fight that he was fighting Satan, and as Jesus went into the tomb and Satan thought that he had won, he thought he had defeated Jesus because Jesus was supposedly dead, and they were counting down, right? Okay, remember when you get knocked out in a fight, they're counting which way? 1, 2, 3, right? They count up. But in this song, Carmen, in this battle, this fight where Jesus is the champion, he's counting backwards. He's going 10, 9, 8. That's not the way you're supposed to count when somebody's knocked out. And suddenly Satan realizes, oh no, he's alive. You will have trouble, but don't fear because he has overcome the world. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Right? Let me tell you about my Jesus, because before the dew settled on the plants on Resurrection Sunday morning, and before the sun peeked over the mountains around the hill country of Jerusalem, before the women got up, before the coffee was made, right, before all the things, Jesus was already at work. He was already working. He was already working on their behalf and on our behalf. When they least expected it, just like us, here's what I want you to hear today. When you least suspect what Jesus is doing in your life, I think that's when he's doing his best work. His best work all of the time. Because people died all the time in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Obviously, people died. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we've already heard they came back to life. There's times in the Old Testament where people were prayed for, where God healed them and they came back to life and people prophesied over them. In the New Testament, Jesus raised them back to life. You know what's different? Is they all rose to die again. They all got up. That little girl, the Roman centurion's daughter, she eventually died again of old age. I don't know. The boy that got out of the coffin, he eventually died again. Lazarus, he eventually died again. Jesus did not die again because he lives forever. Because the angel said when they went to the tomb, what did they say? What did the angel say to him? He goes, why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, because we put Jesus here just a few days ago. But he's not here. Where is he? He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Here's what the resurrection means. Let me tell you about my Jesus that you need to proclaim for yourself and for the whole world, is that he rose above, he resurrected above all the doubts. He rose above all the condemnations that people hurled at him. He rose above all the cynicism. He rose above all the lies. He rose above all the denials. He rose above the death. He rose above the crowds. He rose above the church leaders, right? Hallelujah. He rose above all the denominations. I just need to get an amen out of that. He rose above everything. The Roman Empire, the soldiers, he rose above the disciples' expectations, and he rose above our expectations, my expectations and your expectations. He rose above the ones who killed him. He rose above death itself. He rose above all things. Let me tell you about my Jesus, our Jesus. That when he was when he went through the kangaroo court and they convicted him and he was being beaten beyond recognition, they put a crown of thorns on his head and they put a scarlet robe on him that was just painful and hurtful because he was bleeding and bloody and cut, and then they put a wool coat on top of him. Doesn't that sound fun? Anybody pulled a Band-Aid off after the blood dried? Oh, can you imagine? And they got a reed, you know, a reed like out of a straw plant, and they put it in his hand to be like a scepter. Made fun of him. But let me tell you, that crown, no, he doesn't wear that crown anymore. He wears the crown above all crowns, right? The scepter that he carries is the scepter that rules over hell and death, and it gives us eternal life. That robe that he wears now, I don't know how this works. I don't know what it looks like. I can't wait. But that the train of his robe, the length and the breadth of that robe, it is among us right now because it fills all of creation with his glory, his mercy, his justice, his joy. See, to celebrate the resurrection doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. To celebrate the resurrection doesn't mean you don't look at that cross and go, how does that work? Doesn't mean you don't doubt. I mean, the disciples doubt. To celebrate the resurrection doesn't mean you don't get in over your head. It doesn't mean that troubles don't come. Doesn't mean that you don't ever have to fight for your marriage. It doesn't mean that you don't have to discipline your children and fight for your children. It doesn't mean that you don't have to try to find forgiveness and mercy and grace in your life, right? It means that we have to struggle through it sometimes, and it doesn't mean that you're not ever going to doubt. I can tell you sometimes that I've doubted about all of this, but then I remember Jesus. Just like the disciples did. I can think of all the baptisms out there in that room. I can think of the salvation stories. I can think of your stories. I can think of the healings. I can think of all of the things, all of the blessings. That's where we have to do. That's where we have to go, because Jesus keeps his promises. He's going to keep his promises for you. And so when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, right? Except through me, he means that the people of the resurrection, all of us, the only way to become one of those is through him. It's only through him. And I know that is so unpopular. It's just as unpopular as the disciples following Jesus and hiding in their room. I can literally tell you, standing right here one day after church, speaking to someone that had been in this church for a long time, right here, telling me, well, you know, Jesus really isn't the only way. I said, no, that's wrong. Jesus is the only way. Because Scripture says Jesus is the only way. Jesus said he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. She said, no, there are many ways. There are many paths. I said, no, there are not. They never came back. Never seen them again. It's unpopular, but it's truth. Either you believe it or you don't. By following Jesus, though, his promises are that you will be more than an overcomer, because he overcame and he lives in us. He will never die. We can live in him and we will be with him forever. Jesus' scripture says he is the bright morning star, right? That darkness that he brings to all of eternity can be inside of you. It can drive out the darkness in your own life. And it may happen instantaneously, and everything may be great and joyful and grand, and it may take a while. It may take a process. I'm just not kidding. It may take counseling. It may take lots of time in therapy with marriage counselors, and it might be with your children. It might be with just your own trying to find a Christian counselor in your own life. It might be coming to see me. It might be talking to family. It might be really studying scriptures. Lots of hard time in prayer, and that's okay. The disciples did it. We can do it too. Jesus, it might seem dark and hopeless for us, but if we can just endure the night, if you can just endure the dark days like the disciples did, there is a new day coming. It's good news for us, and it's good news for you. No, it's not even just good news. It's great news. It's the greatest news. Heaven sings, angels rejoice, Jesus lives. Therefore, it says, if anyone is in Christ, right? If anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. It's a new day. And you go, Easter comes every year. No, I'm telling you. Scripture says, each day has new mercies. Every day when you wake up is a new day in Christ. And I mean that. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Every day is a new day. New mercies, they come new every morning. Just endure the darkness. Just endure the night. Just get through it. Because for us, the resurrection matters. And in the resurrection, there was I just want you to imagine some of this. And you think about the sun going dark and the earth trembling with all the earthquakes. And it said that on the day, right, on the day that all of that happened and Jesus was no longer in the tomb and all the, just that weekend, it says that there was a newness. Okay, there was something going on in their hearts and in their lives. And it can happen for us. It can happen for you. Happen for your family. And you go, I've heard this story. Great. Hear it again. Hear it again, because for us, when Jesus went to, when Jesus cried out his last, there was some kind of rattling going on in the world and all of creation. And I don't know. Here's the way I like to think about it. I know it's silly. Y'all don't laugh at me. Just, I don't even know. I have to justify this. I'm the pastor. I'm the boss. That's right. I like that. No, I'm not. Can you just imagine if you can just, all that was going on. Heaven knew what was happening. Right? Heaven knew what was happening. And so if you could just imagine that heaven, if we think that heaven's above us, right? And the floor of heaven is above us. Boy, all those angels and all the creation of heaven and everybody, boy, it's like we're at a football game and everybody starts stomping their feet and they're in the stands and they're beating the aluminum stands and they're hitting the wood floor with their feet and it's getting louder and louder and louder and there's this rattling going on. Boy, y'all don't like that near as much as I do. There's a rattle going on, and as he went to hell, there was a rattle going on. When he stormed the gates of hell, I know there was a rattle going on because demons were fleeing and shouting and screeching, and Satan was running scared, and he was defeated. There was a rattle going on, and when that stone was rolled away, I mean, that wasn't an easy thing, right? Anybody ever moved rock on rock? There was a rattle going on. When the women went to the tomb and they looked inside there was no body. There was a rattle going on. When the angel did say, why are you looking for him here? Man, it was a loud rattle going on. I mean, there was cheering going. Nobody even knew it yet, but heaven was rejoicing. I want that for us. I want that for you. Because that's Easter. That's the resurrection story. It's all about Jesus. But Jesus said, it's all about Jesus, but Jesus said, it's all about you. That's why it's all about you. So, you may be a little crusty and a little tired of church and maybe your faith is waning a little bit. Maybe you're getting a little hard-hearted. I heard somebody yesterday, and I agree with it, but boy, I so disagree with it because they dismissed the power of Christ, I think. They said the older we get, the harder it is for us to come to Christ. The older we get, the harder our heart gets because we think we get too smart. Well, let me tell you something. They forgot about my Jesus. They forgot about the resurrection. They forgot about what Jesus did for you. Y'all stand and let me pray over you. I want to proclaim the risen Christ over you. I want to proclaim the name of Jesus in the world, in our lives, in our families, Lord God, in our marriages, Lord God, in our schools, Lord God, in our places of employment, Lord God, in our houses, in our hobbies. Lord, wherever we go, Lord God, I proclaim you in the midst of our sinfulness, Lord, because you are greater than all of it. Lord, that we would change. Lord, that we would be transformed because of the resurrection. Lord, that we would come alive in you. Lord, that when we leave today, when we go back to all those places tomorrow, Lord, that people would know there's something different about us because of what you did on the day of the resurrection, that you came to life and that you changed our lives. That's what I want. That's the story, the transformation that takes place. Let it be true for all of us. Let it be true for me. Let it be true for my family. Let it be true for every family represented here, Lord. Let it be true for your church. Let it be true for the world. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.